Remembering can often be something that we enjoy. Growing up, there was a lady who lived beside us. I don't actually know what her name was. She was always just Granny Steele to us as we grew up, and she was no relation. How she came to be Granny Steele, I do not know, but that's what she was. But it wouldn't be long into a conversation with her before she would say, "Do you mind the time? Do you mind the time?" And you knew a story was coming. And you knew the story would come and it would bring a smile to your face because you remembered something, something that happened, something that was done or said, and it was good to remember. It's good to have those stories of past events. Good to recall those happy times. But remembering can also be painful, difficult, heartbreaking. And especially so this weekend, as we remember those who have given their lives, as we remember people whose bodies have been maimed, whose minds have been traumatized by war across the world or by acts of terror in our own land. And perhaps this remembrance season is particularly poignant this year because not far from us, a brutal war rages. Wouldn't take you long to get to Kyiv. It's not far from us. One of the other horrible truths is that many wars grind on across this world and we never hear a thing about it. When was the last time you saw a news report from the Yemen? Or the Democratic Republic of the Congo? Or Myanmar? They've just gone from our headlines. And yet across this world, the brutality of war is being seen and experienced. Always at this time of the year, there are big questions. There are questions about war and about peace. There are questions about injury and death. There are questions about pain and suffering. And there are questions which in ourselves we have no answers for. Certainly we have our own opinions, but answers, not so much. And so we rightly turn to God. And in Him. Look, maybe not just for an answer which ticks all of our boxes, but look for His faithfulness and His trustworthiness. The God who has kept us and guided us through the years. The God who is unchanging in that love. In Him, we find not an answer that maybe we would like to hear, but we find trust, confidence, hope for the future. The choir piece ended with that lovely phrase of remembering forward. It's not about just looking back over our shoulders. It's about looking back, certainly, and remembering, but it's about moving forwards. Remembering that God is unchanging in His faithfulness and goodness and grace. It's an interesting thing that when we talk about the problems of war and of death and of pain and suffering, we're generally looking around us at other people, at other places, at other nations, other groups of people, and deciding that's where the problem lies. It's with them. It's with that situation. It's with what's happening over here. And James brings us back to realize, no. The problem is not out there. The problem is in here. And so the passage which Chris read for us a few minutes ago simply says, what causes fights and quarrels? Well, we may have the answer of it's other people. It's other situations. The Bible simply says they come from your desires that battle within you. They come from your desires that battle within you. What starts as maybe that little bit of envy and moves slowly and perhaps subtly to frustration, where we get so frustrated that someone has something else or is something else that we would aspire to be, and we become frustrated. And it's not long before that frustration boils over into anger, which can lead to violence. It starts from within. It starts from within. James goes on to say, you want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. I challenge you to keep those verses in mind. And this afternoon, have a look at the newspaper, or go online, or watch the news, and you'll see all of this worked out. You see it worked out in our homes. You see it worked out in our workplaces. You see it worked out in our streets. You see it worked out across our nations. What starts from within soon boils over. And one of the big problems is we've become so used to it that we just shrug our shoulders. Just the way it is. We just get on with it. But James goes on to remind us, verse 6, God treats us with kindness and gives grace. He gives us more grace. How do we deal with all these things? Well, James goes on to list what we need to do. There's a great long list here. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. Come near to God. Wash your hands. Purify your hearts. Grieve, mourn, wail. Change laughter to mourning. Joy to gloom. There's a great long list. And if you're like me, you read through that and think, well, I failed at the first jump. And the Bible says he gives you more grace. Because that's the only way that we will do these things and be these things. Not by what we do, not by who we are, but by what God has done and by what he is. He gives us more grace. And so James gives us that long list, which calls for immediate action. It's not sometime in the future. I want you to submit yourselves to God. Whenever it's convenient to you, perhaps you might like to resist the devil. James isn't pushing this down the street. James is saying, here and now, this is how you need to live. This is what addresses all those things that boil up within us and then work themselves out in our homes and workplaces and our streets, our nations. And they're addressed when we experience the grace of God in Jesus Christ. We need his grace. We're very good at remembering that we're saved by grace alone. And that's a wonderful truth. It's not being good. It's not all the good things we've done. It's not having some sort of checklist. It is by grace alone that we're saved. But it doesn't stop back then. Each day we need that same grace to live for Jesus Christ. Each day we need to experience that grace so that we can start to submit ourselves fully to God, to resist the devil, to come near to him. That long list. We need to be those who daily repent. Repentance isn't just something that happened on that day back then when I gave my life to Jesus. It's something that needs to mark us here and now. That grieve, that mourn, that wail that we're called to is about repentance. It's about recognizing what's going on in our own heads and hearts and seeking by God's grace to turn from it. As individuals and as a nation. We're called to repent. Repentance is not just saying sorry, it's saying sorry and by God's grace turning from that way of living. The prophets looked forward to that time when the world would be different. The prophet Micah looked forward to that day when there would be no more wars, when the very swords, the instruments of warfare, would be beaten into plowshares, spears would be changed into pruning hooks. That was the prophet Micah not only dreamt of that day, he knew that day would come because God was doing that. He knows that day is coming. Swords to plowshares, spears to pruning forks. When the technology of warfare is applied to living well together. If the technology which goes into warfare today, if the billions of pounds that goes into warfare today was applied to solving some of the issues which we face, this world will be a different place. And that's Micah's picture. When the things of war become the things of peace and the building. I love the scriptures in Revelation 20:21. It looks forward to that day that Micah has spoken of when there will be no more war. There's no more need for swords and spears. There's no more war. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Micah's message spelled out. There will be that day when we won't need poppies to remember, when we won't need to be prompted to build a better future, because that day has come. That day when God will wipe away all tears and all that will be behind. The prophet Isaiah similarly looks forward to that day when all of creation will be at peace, and he pictures lions and lambs and serpents and children just being together. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That day when the earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord. That's what waits for us. In the meantime, in the here and now. Well, the world, like our hearts, will be a battleground. Sometimes it will mean lifting arms. But we are called to be those who make peace. It's interesting, Jesus doesn't tell us to dream of peace or to think about peace. Jesus tells us to build peace. And that's a different thing. In your life, where does Jesus call you to build peace? Where does Jesus call you to take up your cross and to follow him? Maybe it's in our own community, where that hatred and suspicion and mistrust is never far below the surface. It doesn't take much to get it to bubble up. God has placed us where we are. Placed you where you are. To be a builder of peace. And you say, Stephen, I can't do that. And the answer is, he gives us more grace. He gives us what we need to be builders of peace where he places us. As day and daily, we take up our cross and follow Jesus. May God give us the grace that we need. Maybe not for huge things, but to do those small things with great love that will lead to the building of peace. Shall we pray together? Father, you have placed us where we are at this time, not by accident, not by just circumstances, but it was your purpose. And so help us, we pray, to know what it is to follow Jesus in our homes, our workplaces, our streets, our nation. And we pray, give us more grace. Move in this land by your Spirit, and all for the praise of your glory. Amen.